This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next up, Dr. David Morehouse.
I'm so glad that you called me because you are doing such an important task, important work, because you are spreading a very positive message.
I was really moved by last week's show because we made a commitment to a worldwide event to try to change consciousness.
I'm feeling enormous energy around this show, just enormous. I really have to hand it to you, Nicole. You've created sort of a niche of amazing connections. It's just like the angels and the devatas that are like attracted to News for the Soul is amazing.
Hello, everybody. This is Damian Brinkley. Welcome to the hearts and minds of Enfoldment. This is News for the Soul.
Hello, this is Satyan Raja, and you're listening to News for the Soul. Be open in your mind, your body, your being. Allow yourself to drench in this awesome information to evolve you to your next place.
Hey, this is Dave Morehouse, and you're listening to News for the Soul.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights. Life-changing spotlight moments of her empowering talk radio network. Founded in January 1997. To hear the full shows totally free, visit newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com, where we've been broadcasting unparalleled moments with teachers on the leading edge of the human consciousness journey since January 1997. Go to newsforthesoul.com to find out more. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. And we are live. Whew. A lot of emails in today. A lot of people are pretty shaken up by the election results. I'll just let you know three things before we start our full day of programming, all designed to step and remain in our own power and remind ourselves how important where we're focusing on is, as we're creating a reality with that. We have some special shows, special interviews planned in the next few days, and a special message going out later today. Make sure you're on a free e-news, and we're on all day today, newsforthesoul.com. We're going to get right to it with feeling better right in this moment. I've got someone very special to introduce you to, Janya, and I'm not even going to attempt to say the last name till I get it right, so I'm going to ask her to clarify for me. She's going to be here Wednesdays, alternate Wednesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time, starting today. She is known as a very powerful, intuitive energy healer and practitioner. She's got quite the story and history of work behind her. I loved her stories when we connected over Skype before planning her show, and I'm really looking forward to today. Her experience is based on decades of study through many teachings all around the world, as well as her own search and practice of ancient wisdom, mystical traditions, and quantum physics. She's a certified emotion code, quantum healing, crystals practitioner, and is dedicated to assisting clients to solving problems through emotional healing. Well, I think that's about what the whole globe is right in this moment. Let's bring her on and start this. Janya, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hello, Nicole. So happy to be here and you. And yes, I will clarify my name for sure, because pronounce Janya with a Y at the beginning, not a J.
Ah.
Okay? You see?
Got it.
And my last name is very simple. It's like ABC without the C. It's AB.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you for clarifying that. And it's so good to hear your voice and to connect with you. It's been a long night for a lot of people. A lot of people are feeling very shaky today. And it's no accident that you're first today.
When are you
going
to get your results? Because I'm in Switzerland. When are you going to get your results?
Oh, we got them last night. We got them last night.
Oh, you did?
President Trump. Yeah, President Trump.
Oh, my God.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's all for the best. Believe me, he wouldn't have got elected if it hadn't been for the best. And it may be really painful for a year or two or three or four, because the president is 4 years. It may be very painful, but it is probably going to be the fastest route to get to where we're supposed to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
because
it happens for a reason, doesn't it?
Painful experiences, it really makes us turn to what is important, which is your spirit, which is God, which is your source, and not so much to the temporal stuff.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Whew. Well, it's going to be an interesting time.
Yeah, that was a shock to me.
All of us. Trust me, I watched it unfold minute by minute. I was just, wow. It is a shock. But let's start at the beginning of where we normally, because I'm so excited about getting to know you and your story and introducing you to everybody. The place where we normally start is not where we just started, but your first moment, what you can recall, the first moment in this lifetime where you had a direct experience with something that was beyond the 3D physical, and how you knew, you just come from that knowing, wow, this is real, and following that path. What was your first moment that you can recall, most profound moment?
Well, I think the very first moment when I really connected to that something that is beyond us was totally unexpected, because I was sitting in a bus going to wherever, all of a sudden, for no reason, I got transported into a place of light. It was pastel blue light, and everything was in that place. There was everything and nothing. It was amazing. I had no consciousness of being anything or knowing anything or doing anything. There wasn't anything to see or to hold on to. But it was just a place of peace, total peace and quiet. I knew that if I needed to know something or to do something, I would immediately be there. But at that time, I didn't need anything. I was just at peace. I didn't really exist. Yeah, it's very, very
beautiful.
Were you
in some kind of meditative state, or were you, like, how did that happen?
I don't know. I simply don't know. I mean, you're sitting on a bus and you've got 10 or 20 minutes in front of you to be sitting there, so you just daydream, I suppose. I wasn't in meditation or anything like that. I was just looking outside the window. And all of a sudden, there wasn't anything outside the window, and I was in a space, actually that day it was raining, but I was in a space of pastel blue sky. It was very, very strange. Yeah. And I realized that I was perfectly content and happy, and I knew I could do anything. I could be anything. I was all things. And then came the thought that what's the point of being everything and knowing everything and being able to do everything and not doing it? And at that point, I saw a grid with a black dot on it, and I got pulled into that grid as the black dot. And once I was through, I was in a different space, and I was basically back in the world, but I was still not on the bus, if you see what I mean. But I was back in the physical world, and it wasn't light, it was dark. It was figures were moving around that I couldn't really see. It was really dark, and there was no way for me to get back to where I was, up to the light. There was no way. And then all of a sudden, I felt a jolt, and I tried to hold on to something, and I realized that I had no hands to hold on to anything, and that anyway, there wasn't anything to hold on to. And that was so frightening that I was back on the bus and back in my body and back with the rain outside the window.
Wow.
Does that make any sense?
What did it feel like it meant to you?
Well, to me, it absolutely meant that we have a consciousness and we have a knowing that is totally outside your material body. That we are not actually, although we are actually a material body right now, we are also a spirit that is in that space of knowing everything and being everything and being able to do absolutely anything.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul Highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Even if we are focused just on the physical most of the time, it has allowed me to go back to the spiritual very much more easily than I had been able to before. So there are two of you, the spiritual self and the material self.
Have you ever been able to get back to that blue place since?
No. I don't think you can get back to it because of willing it. I think it is a grace that is given to you for whatever reason, I wouldn't know, but you can't get to it through the physical. And willing something, intending something, is all physical. While it's necessary to be willing it and to be intending it and praying and meditating, it's absolutely necessary. But the other side of it, the grace of suddenly understanding something and suddenly knowing something, is given to you. And you just have to accept it.
So that was your first kind of spiritual experience, would you say?
A conscious spiritual experience, yes. But
How old were you at the time?
It must have been about 10, 15 years ago.
Not that long ago.
No, I was 60 or something like that. No, a little more. I was probably 70. But that was conscious. That was conscious. But I did have one that I did not recognize as conscious, and I only recognized it quite recently. I was 12 years old at that time, and that really is, I did not at that time recognize it at all as a spiritual experience.
So what happened?
Well, what happened was I was leaving Poland. I was born in Poland. I'm actually Polish, even though I'm Swiss. And at that time, I was leaving Poland after World War II. I was 12. And it was illegal. We were just taken into lorries. Actually, they were Swiss lorries that were going back to Switzerland empty because they had brought medicines to Poland. And for some reason, they accepted to take me and my brother and sister and my mother out of Poland without any papers, without any, in fact, without any personal papers at all. They didn't want anybody to be able to trace us if they ever got caught, because it was illegal. So we had spent days and days hiding in this truck. You know, at that time there were zones, the American zone, the British zone, the Russian zone. So we were passing through innumerable checkpoints between those zones, and at each of which we could have been found and sent back or just gotten rid of at that time. And finally we reached the American zone, which to the drivers was absolute heaven, but all I could feel was kind of numbness and despair and emptiness because I'd lost my country and my known world, And I couldn't make sense of all those days that we had spent hiding under dirty blankets and behind empty crates, you know, afraid to sneeze or even breathe because the soldiers were checking the contents of the lorries. Some nights we had spent not in the trucks but in abandoned hospitals where I didn't even sleep on the bed. They were so stained and stiff with whatever. I slept on the floor. Now we were in this American base and in a barracks with two rows of camp beds. And, you know, I simply couldn't relate to it. And sitting on mine, I saw many of the GIs coming in with armfuls of stuff. You know, they had candy and chocolate and oranges and things I'd never seen. Didn't know what they were even. And so I was looking at all of that, and it didn't make any sense. It just didn't mean anything. And one of them came down and squatted beside me and put all the stuff he'd brought on the bed. And he was saying something, but I didn't understand what he was saying. And I realized I had simply lost contact with even language. I'd lost contact with the outside world, with everything I knew. And all of a sudden, I burst into tears.
Mm.
Not because I was sad or upset. I had no feelings at all. The tears just seemed to flow for no reason. I was looking at everything and what was on the camp bed without knowing who or what anything was. And then the only reality was me. Not the I sitting on the bed, but the I inside of me.
Mm.
That was the only real thing in that whole scenario.
Wow.
I was that something inside of me was still real. And then thinking stopped. I had no more thoughts. Looking stopped. And my tears stopped. Everything stopped. And just peace flooded over me. Just a feeling of total peace. Because the I that was inside me was totally peaceful. It didn't want or need anything. It just was. It was permeating everything that was around me. And that was enough. I was at peace. And then when the GI left, I took all the stuff on my bed and gave it away to the others. I didn't need anything. I was peaceful. And I think that was my really first experience of something that is inside me that is not the physical me. But of course, at that time, I couldn't relate to it. I didn't have the words for it. It was just a feeling. Now that I've got words for it, but then it was just a feeling.
And it must have helped create a foundation for you to move forward on, a framework.
I think it
I
did.
Know the, yes.
But not consciously, because I totally, you know, okay, so I left Poland, then we went to France for 6 months or a year or whatever it was. I was put in a French school. I didn't know the language. I had to learn everything. I was busy. And then a year later, we were sent to England without even my mother then, because she wasn't allowed in England. Only children without any parents were allowed in. So we were put straight into school. And again, I didn't know the language. I had to start all over again. So it was a time where I didn't really much think of spiritual things.
Although in the end, but I guess everything is a spiritual thing, isn't it?
Basically, everything is spiritual. Everything is energy. But you are more or less conscious of it. And I wasn't conscious because life took over. You know, I finished school in England, and I finished university in England as well. And then I had to work. So life just takes over, like it does with everybody. People who work all day, you know, they don't have much time for anything else, do they?
Mm. Distracted all the time. What kind of work did you do?
Basically secretarial, administrative, and very, very soon I got a job in Africa. No, that was another thing. I was looking for a job outside of England. I was fed up with England somehow. I wanted out, and I wanted to go to either South America or India. Don't ask me why. Those two just absolutely drew me. But there was nothing available. For a year, I think I looked in every newspaper for jobs, and there was nothing in South America, there was nothing in India. And all of a sudden came up a job in Africa. So that kind of stopped me. And I said, well, if there's nothing where I want to go, Africa is also outside of England, so let's try Africa. So that's what I did. I applied for the job. And obviously, Africa was the place I was supposed to go to because I had no qualifications for that job, basically. It was in logging, forestry. One had to have some knowledge of trees and all that sort of thing. I had none whatsoever. And all the other applicants seemed to all come from logging backgrounds and being in forests and whatever. Anyway, in the end, I got the job. Don't ask me how or why.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
So I went out to Africa, and I absolutely loved it from the word go, which is not the experience of everybody. Mostly people absolutely hate it and then get to terms with it. I just loved it from the start. And finally, that's where I met my husband after a couple of years, 3 years. And we married, and he was Swiss, and this is why I'm Swiss.
Beautiful.
So,
how did you get into more of the esoteric end of things? Where did that begin?
That began actually at the death of my husband.
Oh. And when was that?
That was in 1981. We were in Africa. He was working in Africa also. We'd always been there. Not South Africa, but West Africa. People usually immediately go to South Africa when I say Africa. But West Africa is a very, very different part of Africa. It's really black Africa. South Africa is black and white, both. And all the center of Africa is called black Africa. And I was in West Africa, in Nigeria. And my husband was traveling, and the plane crashed, and he was killed in the plane crash. So that was really painful. I had a son who was 13 at the time, and I had to leave Nigeria, not for Nigeria, but I was in the Togo then. I had to leave Africa after more than 27 years, and I had nowhere to go. Basically, I had no home outside of Africa. And I had 1 month to wind up everything and leave the country. I had to find another place to go to, find a school for my son. And of course, there were countless financial, logistic, passport issues that had to be solved, not to mention difficulties of taking the coffin back to Europe. I mean, it was pretty horrendous. And it was then that I learned that under certain conditions, it is possible to totally let go of control over everything. And then that surrender, that letting go of everything, allows other laws to operate, the spiritual laws to operate, and brings all the help you need when really you don't expect any. And that happened actually 2 days before my flight out of Africa. And the situation was absolutely not resolved. The house was not emptied. The bank still couldn't let me have any money. The embassy issues were not finished. Legal issues had hardly started. And you know that legal issues can take forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd spent almost a month on all of it. And now, in 2 days, it simply couldn't be done. Couldn't. So I remember I just sat in the middle of the room and thought of God and thought of God giving me impossible tasks to do, and I just surrendered. And basically what I said is, unless you do something about it, it won't get done. The ball is in your court. And I stopped thinking about all of that. I simply had no preference as to what happened. I accepted any outcome. It didn't matter. I could leave, or I could stay, or I could whatever. It just didn't matter what happened. I relinquished all thought about it and all control of anything. And suddenly I felt peaceful for the first time in a month. And that peace actually reminded me of when I was 12 and I felt that same sort of peace for no reason at all. In fact, I had every reason to be absolutely freaked out, but I was peaceful. And that same afternoon, two couples of neighbors showed up saying, we thought you could use some help with packing up the house, you know. So I would just waved my, I was still sitting in my chair, and I waved my arm and said, pack. You've got all the stuff there. You can pack everything. And later, the bank manager arrived with a sheaf of papers to sign and a briefcase full of cash. He was accompanied by the police commissioner, who stayed with me for those 2 days because of all the cash I'd gotten. Until, yeah, I know, it's just mind-boggling. And the police commissioner took me to the airport and actually into the plane, which probably right now wouldn't be allowed, but that was quite a few years ago, and it was in Africa. So he took me into the plane. He never left me for 1 second.
Wow.
The consul from the embassy came with permits for whatever, and the lawyer turned up with papers to sign.
Wow.
Another friend arrived to take my son to the movies and to dinner so I could be, you know, free of that. So the house was full of people, and everything was being done without me having to go anywhere or to do anything except sign papers that were put in front of me.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
That experience,
that's,
I don't think,
amazing,
I can ever, ever forget.
And you articulated that feeling so well, that total handing over and completely disconnected from outcome, and in such a major thing where it's so easy to be connected to the outcome and attached to everything. That was so well demonstrated. Amazing.
Yeah, the demonstration was just amazing. And it's not easy, really, to let go of control unless you're in a situation where there is absolutely nothing you can do. And that's so true. Mm. And, you know, it was very strange because when all of that was done, I didn't feel ecstatic or happy about the whole thing, even though I knew I could now safely leave in 2 days and not be put in prison for, you know, for extending my stay after it was legally finished. So all the problems were solved, but I was not joyful or happy, but I just knew that everything was divinely ordered. I wasn't even reading the documents I was signing. I just knew, I trusted that they were okay. And yeah, and really it was a relief that I no longer had any control over anything, that God was in charge. It was not happiness or joy, it was relief.
Wow. I absolutely love that story. I understand that place, and that's how we're here 20 years in as well, just that knowing. This is why that's the first question of every interview, getting to know the new host here, because it's the one place that really brings it together here. It's what we're all about, and I just love that story. So now you had this real moment of, you know, when real important stuff was, the chips were down, and now you know. Where did that lead you next?
Well, the next thing, of course, is I got back to Europe, and I hadn't lived in Europe for, 27, 30 years. And I'd never lived in Switzerland. I got back to Switzerland, actually. And I'd never lived in Switzerland ever. So everything was new, and well, you know, I had to deal with life. I had to find a job. I had to find a school for my son, find a place to live. Everything was piling up again on me. And so I was living a life that was really very, very busy materially. But that remembrance of God doing things for you stayed with me. And I started to read spiritual books and go online to find spiritual teachers or teleseminars and that sort of thing. And what time I had, I did really give to spirituality. Although with a child and a full-time job, it's difficult. So I really understand people who say, I just have no time for this. But I did make time. But until my next really big challenge came, it was very fragmented. And the next challenge was my son, who was then totally an adult, and he was working. He was actually creating his own company, and he went for a week's holiday in Egypt because he was deep sea diver, a diving instructor. So he went for a week's holiday diving in Egypt in the Red Sea, and then I got news that he'd had an accident, and well, of course, the first thing I did was just take the first plane out. And again, God was looking after me because I tried to book a ticket. There were no tickets at all until a week hence. And I had to get to Egypt now, today. And so I actually went to the airport and did all the airlines available. And I stayed at that airport looking for a flight out. And within, I think, 4 or 5 hours later, something turned up. Somebody canceled something. And I got a flight, which was just totally amazing.
Mm.
And so I got to Cairo, which is where he was transported, and I sat with him for days. He was in a coma. He was not breathing. He was on a ventilator. And I just sat with him, and it all looked really very hopeless. And I remember that I was praying and meditating, and at some point I actually decided that maybe I should release him, because when people are in a coma, sometimes they are meant to die, and you holding on makes them stay when really it is not in their best interest. So I did. I gave up, and I consciously released him. If this is what you're supposed to do, to do, then I'm letting you die, and it's going to be okay. Instead of asking him to come back, I just gave him permission to leave, if that's what he wanted. Yeah. And I was sitting in my hotel, actually, when the waiter brought me a telephone, and it was the hospital saying that he had started breathing on his own, that they had taken him off the ventilator.
Mm,
God, you can
wow.
imagine what I felt then. You can imagine.
Mm.
And, yeah, so they said they were going to fly him back to Switzerland in an ambulance plane. And, of course, I couldn't go in the ambulance plane. Although I tried, there was no possibility of getting on that plane. So I booked myself a flight out immediately and actually got home, I think, a few hours before the ambulance plane came. And I phoned the hospital, and they said he had come and that I could come over. So I rushed over, and I saw him lying in bed again with tubes snaking everywhere, just as they were in Egypt. And he was back on the ventilator. And I don't know, in one flash, all my hopes had vanished. It seemed like life had gone back to a week ago. And then I heard the doctor say that They had to put him back on the ventilator, but he had died at 5 in the morning.
Oh, my.
I was totally stunned. Excuse me.
That's okay.
It's still hard.
Whew. Wow.
It's still hard. And then they said they couldn't take him off the ventilator, that I would have to do that. And they showed me the switch, and they left. They said, whenever you're ready, take him off the ventilator. So I was totally alone,
wow.
And there was no way out of this. I really had nothing to live for anymore. It was just hopeless. So I stayed. I just held his hand without any thoughts. It seemed forever. And then I looked at him and just flipped the switch and watched him die.
Oh, my gosh.
I must admit that I totally broke down then. But then, you know, when there is no more hope and nothing to live for anymore, something just cracked open inside of me. And I knew the only place I could find peace and the strength to not despair, not be totally overwhelmed, was within myself. That same place when I was 12 and that same place when my husband died, that was the only place where I could find any certainty and any support. So the only way I would ever make it through this was if I found something that would make sense. And I had to start searching for that something.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul Highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
But that intention, it was that intention really that led me on the search for the real reasons why these things happen, for the real underlying nature and purpose of life.
So where did you start looking?
I didn't know where to look. And God again took charge. Because I still have a friend. And she phoned me pretty soon after that. She phoned me to say that she had just heard from a person whom she hadn't been in contact with for about 20 or 30 years. She got an email from that person telling her about Cryon, who is channeled by Lee Carroll. Have you ever heard of Cryon?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's the Cryon. I'd never heard of Cryon. She'd never heard of Cryon. But she got this email saying, I think you should look up Cryon, channeled by Lee Carroll, and it's going to do something for you. It's exactly the thing you want. When she got that email from this person she hadn't heard from for 20 years or so, the first thing that came into her mind was, this is something I need to know about. So she gave me the links and everything for crying, and said, very possibly this is what you're looking for. Just try it out and see what it does for you. So I looked up crying and I started listening to the channelings. That was exactly what I was looking for. Exactly. And, you know, I think I have listened to just about every channeling he did. And I've got all the books. I've read them all. It's not only that I buy them, I read every line of them. And that has started me on my spiritual search, which has, from there it has gone on to all kinds of things, all kinds of people I listen to now and I connect with, and I have mentors. Yeah, but Cryan was the first thing that I contacted, and he really turned it all around for me.
What was it, the gist of the message that spoke to you?
I think it was all the messages of behind death and how people come back into this life with a purpose to help others through their challenges. I mean, we always see the physical challenge we have, but we never think of how that challenge that we have can help other people. And that spoke to me because my son had died in a very tragic way, which I didn't tell you about. I don't suppose it matters. But he was murdered, basically. So that was, it's not that just he died, mm-hmm. but he was murdered. And I had to forgive that. So yeah. these are the things that really spoke to me and got me to the place where I could forgive. And it took years. It's not something that you can do in just, you know, a month or two, and then you forgive and it's done. Because forgiveness really has nothing to do with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness has only to do with you, yourself, and your own consciousness. Because I have been trying really to forgive for years, and I thought I kind of had. But it was always painful. It was always, I knew that I had to forgive. I knew I wanted to. I was willing to forgive. But all the forgiveness I was doing was not quite enough. And at a certain point, I was in meditation then. At a certain point in meditation, suddenly came more understanding. And I got a sense, a much deeper sense of forgiveness, which allowed me to see that not only there was nothing to forgive, but also why there was nothing to forgive. Because you can say intellectually, yeah, there is nothing to forgive because it's all for the good, but it's intellectual. You've got to really feel it in order to forgive, to truly forgive. You've got to feel that there is nothing to forgive. But you still think there is, because you didn't understand why there was nothing to forgive. And I also got to see why, and so I got to see that there is nothing to forgive. And the why is that everything happens in divine order. That everything is exactly as it is supposed to be even if you can't see it at that time. So everything was working for the highest good of everyone in that event. My son, for the good of my son, for the good of the murderer, and for my own good. There were three of us involved, and possibly very many more than three, but on the first level, just the three of us. And that knowing that there was nothing wrong, because Albert was meant to die at that time, that was for his highest good, even if I don't know what that highest good is. So nothing bad had happened. And there was no need to forgive. And I got such a feeling of love during that meditation that I could see that even the person who murdered Albert, he was fulfilling his divine plan, because Albert had to die at that time. I had to get a higher understanding of divinity. And so he was willing to become that person, in fact, in this life, a murderer, for us to fulfill our divine plans. Can you see the circle of it?
Mm. Yeah, reframed.
Yeah, it's a reframing. I could just bless Fayez, because that's his name, and just thank him for accepting to fulfill this role as the villain in this life, in the divine plan for me and for Albert. And so it's just a higher perspective of everything that happens. I had to learn to really forgive. And that understanding I got during my meditation got me to that place where I have forgiven. And I can now totally accept Fayez as a friend, as somebody who has given me a huge service, because I was able to grow into a person that I wasn't before. And
wow,
that's a gift I will never forget.
Like you said, one thing to think about doing, quite another to do. Quite an amazing path. Did you start looking into healing?
Oh, my God. Healing. healing, yeah. Healing was simply not on my agenda. Simply not. Because I had nothing to do with healing all my life. I mean, I even actively disliked being with people who are ill or in hospitals or wherever. No. Healing just wasn't in my consciousness at all. But what happened, is after I started with Cryon and listening to all his stuff, I once went to one of his meetings in California. I was in California at the time, and they had a live event in Mount Shasta. So I went to Mount Shasta for that event. And what happened was there were three other people at that event that were speaking, and one of them was a shaman and a healer. And I was really interested in what he had to say. So during an intermission, he was down with the public where I was, speaking to people, so I went to listen. And then all of a sudden I heard that you over there. And I looked at him, and he was pointing right at me. There was nobody. I was right in the back. There was nobody beside me. So it was obviously me. And he said, you are a healer. And I opened my mouth, I think, because that was totally unexpected. And I said, not a bit of it. I have nothing to do with healing. And he said, yeah, I know. I know you don't want to have anything to do with it. And I said, no, it's not that I don't want to. I don't have to do anything with it. I just don't. And he said, I know, because, you've died a very painful death because of being a healer at one time, and you've been rejecting it. But you are a healer. I said, no. No. I didn't want to accept it. You know, I laughed, I think, at that time. I laughed and I said, no. I don't want anything to do with healing. I've got plenty to do as it is. I'm very busy in my life. I don't want any of it. And so that ended that. And a couple of years later, some other healer that I was introduced to, not as a healer, but just introduced to somebody, and they looked at me and said, you're a healer. And I said, no, nothing at all, no. So two people had told me twice over in so many words that I was a healer, and I rejected it. I didn't accept it. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't want it. And so one day I was again in California, and I woke up with a pain in my foot, in my right foot. And it was getting worse and worse, and I never knew that bones could hurt. But a bone right in the middle of my foot was really, really painful and getting more and more painful. And within a few days, my foot had doubled in size. It was bright red, and the swelling was creeping up to my ankle and higher.
Oh, boy.
And, it was frightening. I mean, everybody was saying, go to hospital. You know, you've got to have this looked at. You know, you can't keep on like this. And I knew I couldn't keep on like this, but somewhere I knew that I hadn't done anything to that foot. I hadn't done anything. I mean, I hadn't sprained it. I didn't break it. Not even an insect bite. Nothing. So I was taking antibiotics. That far I did go. And it wasn't doing any good. And within a couple of weeks, I couldn't even wear a flip-flop. I mean, the pain was becoming unbearable. And I was even afraid to touch my leg because the skin looked as if it would burst if I touched it. It was horrendous. And the only avenue left was turning to God again. So I started asking questions. Where am I making wrong choices? Because I thought I had chosen a spiritual path now, and I was, you know, crying and all kinds of other things. And what could I do to heal that problem? Yeah, I really thought I was doing everything I should be doing. I was on a spiritual path, and yet all these things were happening. And days went by, and I was still questioning until one evening. I was sitting in a chair with my foot up, again talking to God. And the image of those two people a few years back just dropped into my head together, both of them. Both of them together. And I almost heard the words they had said to me, you are a healer. I mean, I almost heard them with my ears. If they were in my head.
Wow.
Yeah. You are a healer. And when I heard that, I all of a sudden realized that I had known, I had been told what I was supposed to do. I knew about it, and I refused to go there.
And that, Yanya, is going to be our cliffhanger moment. because we're actually past the top of the hour, but I didn't want to interrupt you. I could literally talk to you all day. Here's what we're going to do is continue your story on the next hour that we get you on, and we'll pick it up from there and start there and continue on because people really needed to hear your story today. It was literally all the higher good and perfect timing, divine order. There's just no accident that you're the first person I'm talking to after that election experience and everyone's reactions today and just being able to.
Everything is in divine order. Even if it's Trump, it's okay. It is going to make people turn to God, turn to what is real and not to these appearances. Mm-hmm. Very much quicker than if they had somebody who was not as, well, I don't know what words to use, but in your face all the time. Yeah.
Well, it's not like all the hate wasn't there before. It's just been all exposed now. So, like you said, there's work to be done, and wow.
Yes.
But you were the absolute perfect person to talk to this morning. I'm so grateful that you're a part of News to the Soul. I'm so grateful that you're here, Yanya.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights. Life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.